Open your Bibles up to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, and we'll do just a little bit of expository preaching tonight. And we're just going to look at Psalm 100, and we're going to go through all five verses of it. But as we do, I want you to just kind of think about it and see if there's something or somewhere that maybe we all can make some adjustments and do some improvements on the things we ought to be doing for God. Actually, the Psalm 100 is really, even my heading says it's a psalm of praise. Okay? So let's just kind of get into it. Verse 1 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Make a joyful noise. Notice that a lot of folks make a lot of noise in the kingdom of God, but some of it's not joyful, right? That word joyful there means to make an ear-splitting shout. Woo! Think about that for a minute now. Yeah, an ear-splitting shout. You're lucky if out of a lot of Christians you can just get an amen. Right? Come on now. I mean, this past Sunday, I just wonder if I didn't just need to run down there and amen myself and then run back up here and preach some more. Amen. You fellas just kind of would just, I mean, you know, and we start thinking about that. We have to be making a joyful noise to the Lord. And notice who he's telling to do it. All ye lands. You look in other translations, all the earth, all you people, everybody, David says here, you need to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, I know that there's things in this earth that we have problems. There's situations, circumstances, and those kind of things. But you can never let those things steal your joy. Because the joy of the Lord is what? It's your strength. So when you allow that circumstance, that situation, what somebody said, what somebody did, when you allow that to influence you, then they're really stealing your joy. And see, that's an act of the devil, because what was it? The devil came to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So when you allow him to steal your joy, steal your shout, steal your praise, come on now. We've got to make sure that as children of God, that's always there no matter what's going on in our lives. See, even if bad things are going on, understand that God hasn't left you. He's not quit. He's still on the job, and he's still working all things together for good to them that love and serve him. So we should always have that joyful shout in the good times and in the bad times. Now, I know it's a little more difficult in the bad times, but we've got to learn how to be joyful through every situation. Jesus said, this world is going to cause you some tribulation, right? In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But then what did he say? Be a good cheer, right? Make a joyful noise. Be a good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And what he was saying, you're going to be all right, because I've already been through this, I've already done it, I've already overcome it. So understand, you're going to go through things, but don't let that take you out. Keep your joyful shout. Keep your joyful noise. Keep on splitting the ears of the devil with your praise. Amen. See, that's the thing the devil hates. He wants to shut down your praise, because you and I were created to worship. We were created to praise him, and the devil hates it when we do, because he used to be the leader of the praise. Come on now. So if he wants to shut something down, he wants to shut down the praise. He wants to steal your joyful shout. That's why David reminds us, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Everybody, he says, all you lands. And then verse 2, he says, serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with singing. Now, the word serve here, I want us to look at just a little bit. Now, we know that means work, of course. A servant is a worker. But if you get to looking at it, there's a whole lot of descriptions there in the Greek for that word serve. And one of those words is worshiper. Worshiper. Now, you got to get to thinking about this. So he's saying, really, worship the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. See, you got to understand this. Singers sing. Right? Come on now. You can take a singer and you can put them up here in church and they'll sing a church, a song, a Christian song. But you can take a singer and take them out there and get them around a bunch, and they'll go ahead and just sing, you know, Tennessee Whiskey or something else. They'll just, whatever they call singers sing. Right? Come on, they're just as apt to sing worldly songs as they are church songs. Amen. Come on, most of the country singers, a lot of the singers that are out there, they're singing for the world now, and they started out in church somewhere. Come on, that's where they found out they could sing, was in church. But you see, they found out that it was profitable in the world to go out into the world and sing. Come on. You know, that's because the world will pay more for singers than the church will. Come on now, don't get mad at me because I'm preaching good now. They found out the world, they'll pay big money to hear somebody sing songs about what they do. But the church, they won't hardly give a dime to hear anybody sing about the Lord. Come on now. See, when you talk about money and you talk about giving like that, it tires people up. And they shouldn't be tore up about it. Come on, the Bible says the workman's worthy of his hire. Amen. Don't matter whether it's somebody singing, but now let me just help you here. I've said singers sing, but worshipers worship with song. And see, there's a big difference. There's people that can sing, and I mean, man, they can just, I mean, they're pitch perfect when they sing. But they're not worshipers. They'll sing, they'll get every note perfectly on key. Don't make a mistake. But then there's worshipers that maybe while they're singing a worship song and worshiping God, they may break into tears and they can't get a word out of their mouth. And I'm going to just tell you something. That's as much worship as the words coming out of their mouth. Because you see, to be that servant of the Lord, to serve the Lord here, it means to not only just serve Him, but give yourself to Him. See, because worshiping the Lord, serving the Lord, is more than just singing. It's also your actions. So here, when He's talking about serve the Lord here with gladness, He's talking about us. I'm happy to be here. I don't have to go to church. I got to go to church. We're having church tonight. I'm glad. And I'm going to come into His presence and I'm going to be singing because I'm glad. Amen. That song's going to be more than just a little song on my heart. That's going to be a worship coming up out of me. See, and that's what the psalmist is trying to get across. David was a worshiper, so he could write this and he could understand that worship meant something to God. Matter of fact, David knew even from the time he was a shepherd in the field, he would be out in the fields writing songs. See, a psalm is a song. And David wrote Psalm 100. It was a song that he's singing to the people, letting them know, listen, this is what you do. You serve the Lord with gladness, and you come into His presence with singing. You come before the Lord worshiping. Most of us come before the Lord just down and out. Humdrum. A lot of folks come to church and they come to church and they've got everything on their mind except for God. Come on now. A lot of folks come in on Sunday and what's on their mind is what they're going to do after church. Instead of coming with an expectation, you know what? God might break loose today. Signs and wonders and miracles might start happening today. We might get to stay in church till this evening sometime. They don't come with that kind of attitude. They come with the attitude, man, I hope Pastor don't have too long a message today because, you know, we got to beat the Baptist down there to the restaurant. Come on now. Right? I mean, everything else is on their mind. Well, I hope he don't take too long because, you know, we've got to try to get to the lake and get some afternoon sun. Come on now. We've got to try to get to the malls. They close a little early on Sunday afternoon. No, that's not coming before the Lord with gladness and singing in your heart. That's having another agenda before you ever get here. When we come, our agenda ought to be this. I'm coming into the presence of God. And I'm going to come and be glad I'm there. And while I'm there, I'm going to worship Him with gladness. I'm going to sing to Him with gladness in my heart, knowing it's a privilege to come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come into His house with my brothers and sisters, the redeemed ones, the blood-bought church. Do you understand what a privilege that is? I'm going to tell you, there's people in hell right now that would have given their whole lifetime of the money they've made just to be able to walk in and say, Jesus, I love you. But we take it so lightly. We kind of get so used to just going to church. And it, understanding this, worshiping God is more than just going to church. A lot of folks think, well, as long as I go to church, things is over. That don't make things right with God in your heart. That's an act of worship. That's coming before Him with gladness and singing in your heart. Remember what Paul wrote over in Ephesians? He said, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's how you stay filled with the Spirit. Right? And so he says this. He says, that's what you need to do. Come into His, serve Him with gladness. Come to His presence with singing. Now, in the third verse, he says, know ye that the Lord, He's God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and, notice this, the sheep of His pasture. Now, the Amplified, I like that first part in the Amplified. It says, know, perceive, recognize, and understand with approval that the Lord is God. See, we got to get a revelation that He is God. We got to know that He's God. See, when we really get this revelation that He's God, then we're going to act differently. We're going to talk differently. And our attitudes will be different. When you really get a revelation that He's God, you realize that when we just do something flippantly, that it means something to God. Amen. You've got to know that He's God. Know that He's God when you're good. Know that He's God when you're bad. Come on. Know that He's God when you're acting good. Know that He's God when you're acting out. Come on now. Know that He's God when you're talking good and you're praising Him and you know that He's God. But also know that He's God when you're cursing. Talking about somebody. Giving somebody, running somebody down the road. He's still God. He didn't change. And see, I think sometimes we forget that God's listening at all times. And that He sees things all the time. If we would start to know that, get that revelation, I think our lives would change. Come on. I think we'd put greater importance on the things of God than we do. See, because I think for the most part the church has a greater emphasis on the things of the world than they do the things of God. Amen. The church as a whole. Now, I understand there's those dedicated few. You're here tonight, by the way. Because Wednesday night means something because you know He's God. He's God on Wednesday night just like He's God on Sunday morning. Come on. But you know, here's the thing. He's God on Monday. He's God on Tuesday, right? Every day of the week, He is God and He's always with you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way to the end of the age. He's always with us. But we've got to know that. If we want our lives to change, we understand and know that He's God all the time. So when we're around somebody that's telling the dirty little joke, we're around somebody that's doing this or that, understand He's still God. He's there. And if you're listening, He gets to listen. Come on. If you're participating, you're causing Him to participate. Because He's in you. Right? So David says, know that He's God. And then he goes and it says, it's He that have made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. See, Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You and I are the workmanship of God. Do we understand that? See, when we start understanding that, what happens is it does away with this, I'm a self-made man attitude. Right? Come on now. Well, you know, I'm just a hard worker. That's how I've got what I got, because I'm a hard worker. No, you've got what you got because you're a sheep of His pasture and He's fed you well. Come on now. See, because you couldn't work hard if He didn't give you the strength to work hard. You couldn't work hard if He didn't give you the health to work hard. You couldn't have obtained what you've obtained if He didn't give you breath in your body. He said, without Me, you can do nothing. And so we got to understand that we're His sheep. See, we're not our own. Folks like to act like that. You know, you have these folks out here that are fighting for, against abortion, and they're saying, you know, it's my body and all that stuff. It's not. God made us. It's He that made us and not we ourselves. And when that baby's in that body, that's another body inside a body. Come on. And that body inside that body don't belong to the body that it's inside of. Come on now. That's two individuals now. Amen. You see, but here's the thing. The body that has the body inside of it is also the body that belongs to God. Amen. I hope I'm making a little sense with this. See, we didn't make ourselves. He made us. And so whatever we are, now I do say that we've had the opportunity, because we have free will, to take this body in certain directions. Amen. Because He did give us a free will, but it doesn't make it our body. It just makes that God's loaned us this body and we've chosen to take it maybe in some wrong directions. Hopefully we're taking it in the right direction, but it still belongs to God. Amen. And especially if you're a child of God, you become the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're not only, this body don't only belong to God, but He lives in it. Come on. He is living in me. Praise God. He is living in you if you're born again. So he says, you know, you got to know that He's the one made us and we didn't make ourselves, and that we're the sheep of His field. Now, of His pastures, and He's taking care of us. Now, in Psalm 139:14, listen to what it says here. It says, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. See, God made you just like He made you. A lot of folks look at themselves and say, well, I'd like to be like so-and-so. I'd like to be like so-and-so. God likes you the way you are. And so you ought to like yourself the way you are. Come on now. Like I said, now I realize that some of us have taken our bodies in the wrong direction. Can I get an amen from anybody there? You know, maybe we didn't do like we should about the way we eat. Come on, the way we exercise, the way we do stuff like that. I'm thoroughly convinced that most of our medical problems are due to nothing but our diet. Come on now. And then, of course, we're living in a world now to where everything is super magnified and it's all been changed and genetically changed and all that stuff. To where, you know, now what you eat is not stuff, even when you eat natural, a lot of times, unless you got it straight out of the garden, it's probably been modified in some way. Come on, you don't get a chicken. I don't remember ever seeing chicken breast that big around on the farm. Y'all, come on, you know, you fed over that little chicken breast. That wouldn't. I mean, you know, they got some pretty good size hen, but I never did see one, you know, look like a bulldog. Right? Come on, they've got them so pumped to steroids, right? Come on now. You know, I mean, you buy bread now, and you can keep bread for a long time. Wonder why? See, the fresh bread, if you keep it for 3 or 4 days, you'd start to mold. No preservatives. No embalming fluid. Come on now. You know, you don't know what's in that stuff. Right? So I'm thoroughly convinced that a lot of the stuff that we've eaten has been detrimental to our health. And so we have to watch ourselves and understand that we've been given charge over this body and we need to be doing the best we can with it. And it's because it belongs to Him. You know, kind of think of it this way. You know, if you went out and borrowed your friend's car, you're going to try your best to take care of it, right? You know, and if you're a good friend that borrowed your friend's car, when you take it back to him, you'll take it back to him better than what you got it. Right? Come on. Full of gas. Maybe cleaned out if it wasn't cleaned up or whatever. Take it back to him. Because you might want to borrow that car again. Right? And you're more apt to get to borrow it again if you take it back like that. Well, you know, what about these bodies? they ought to be in better shape than they've ever been because they belong to God. After all, we might want to stay in them a while, right? Yeah. Come on now. And how long you get to stay in them will have a whole lot to do with that. You didn't make yourself. He made you. You've got to realize that now. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you that way. And it's awesome. I'll tell you, I'm glad God didn't make us all the same, aren't you? Because I wouldn't want to be you. That's all right, you can say it. Come on. You wouldn't want to be me, right? Come on now. We got to be ourselves. Amen. You know, a lot of times folks will do that. You see kind of things like that. I see preachers sometimes that are trying to preach like Pastor Parsley. Or trying to preach like somebody else. Or you see singers that are trying to sing like somebody else sings. Or whatever, you know, they're trying to be like them. You know, why not be like God wants you to be? You know, I mean, they may have got popular because of the way they are. But God, if you submit yourself unto the Lord and follow Him and not lean to your own understanding, God will exalt you in due time. Amen. Be yourself with God and watch what happens. Don't worry about what somebody else has been. Well, yeah, but I just really like their anointing. Well, you're anointed too. Amen. The same anointing is on you. There may be a different style, but you're still the same Holy Spirit that's on you that's on them. Amen. You've got to realize that. You know, a lot of folks won't get prayed for with somebody because I'm going to go get the pastor to pray for me, lay hands on me, or go get so-and-so to lay hands on me, or whatever. You know, the Bible doesn't say, and the pastors will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Right? It says that believers, these signs will follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Every believer is just anointed as another believer. Amen. Why? Because He's the same Holy Spirit. Now, can faith change things? Yes, it can. See, you can build up your faith to believe for greater things. But it'll be the same anointing that does it. Right? It'll be the same Holy Spirit. It's just that you brought yourself to a level. I believe the Word says this, and I believe God can't lie because I know that He is God. I have a relationship with Him. Me and Him be like, okay, we're chums, you know. Right? Amen, and please don't take that as disrespect. I'm just saying that you've got to have that kind of relationship with God. And when you know He'll do what He asked because He said He would, then see, your faith levels rose now, and you'll see more signs and wonders and miracles happen. Amen. Now, that don't mean because you go to somebody that's got a high faith that something's going to happen for you, because you've got to go in there with some faith too. I understand the gifts of the Spirit operate, but that might be the day that you know, God doesn't say, choose to operate that. He operates the gifts when He wants to, with who He wants to, and how He wants to. Right? But the anointing and the Word of God always works. Did you hear me? The anointing and the Word of God always works because God can't lie. The Word's always true. And so, we don't like this again, but if we're failing in an area when it comes to faith, it's not on God's part. It's us. And I don't like that a bit more than you do. But it's true. Because God can't fail, never will, never has. Amen. So we got to understand now that we belong to Him. Now, He goes on and He says this in verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Look what it says now. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. What are you trying to say, David? David's saying, when I get to the gate, I ought to already be pumped up. When I'm driving in, I ought to already be pumped up. I ought to already be excited. I ought to already be thanking God for what He's going to do before I ever get in the building. I shouldn't have to wait till I get in the building and the praise team's on their third song before I start getting thankful and praising Him. Can you imagine what a service we would have if people, as they were coming in to the gates, was already thanking and praising God, giving Him glory and honor for signs and wonders and miracles and lives changed and salvations and deliverances happening and God being exalted in the house and us receiving everything God has for us? Can you imagine what a service it would be if everybody came together doing that? See, you don't know what will happen, but I do have some examples in the Bible when they were gathered together in the upper room and they were in all with speaking one, with one voice and they all were in one mind. What happened? Whew! Holy Ghost came in like a mighty rushing wind, set on every one of them. Every person there was speaking in tongues, walking around like they was drunk, and the Spirit of God was making Himself an example to the people that were watching. See, that's what God does when you begin to get that kind of attitude that I'm going to worship Him anyway. The disciples, they'd been beaten, they'd been sent back to their own company over there in the book of Acts. And when they got there, they began to tell them what was going on, their company, what was happening, and they all began to pray at the same time. But they didn't pray, "Oh Lord God, help us. What in the world are we going to do?" No, they pray, "God, grant to us boldness that we can stretch forth the hand of Jesus." And man, God says, "Okay, I like that." And the place starts shaking again. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost again. Refilled. Come on, see, I think sometimes the church just needs a good old-fashioned refill of the Holy Ghost. Because people are not exhibiting the gifts of the Spirit, so it tells me that we're not keeping ourselves stirred up and full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If we're full of the Holy Ghost, after a while He's going to start coming out. But see, the problem is most folks are not really even looking for the Holy Ghost to do anything because they don't care whether they get filled with the Holy Ghost or not, as long as they're saved. I'm on my way to heaven. It'll be worth it all one of these days. How about right now? How about being on fire for God right now? How about entering into His gates with praise and thanksgiving? Coming into the house that way. Now, a lot of times when we leave, we're pretty fired up. We're excited. Maybe the service went real good. How about us coming in that way? I understand that the world's out there. I understand we get beat down in the world. I know you've got to face things out there. But He's the same God out there that He is in here. Come on. You can stir up yourself, as Paul told Timothy, out there. And you can walk around your workplace. "Yeah, I hate my job." Well, you can hate your job and love Jesus at the same time. Just walk around doing your job, praying under your breath, praying in the Holy Ghost, stirring yourself up. Make people around you wonder why you're so happy. What's going on with you? Why are you happy? Why are you smiling? What's happened to you? Well, it's happening to me all the time. You want me to tell you what's happening with me? Jesus said, do you want what I got? You can have what I got because it ain't just for me. It's for you too. Open up a door for you to talk to somebody. See, when you enter in with that kind of attitude, with that kind of praise, with that kind of worship, it changes everything. It changes everything. Some of the best services we have are when something has happened to somebody and they've seen God do a miracle out there and they come in here still excited over what they saw out there. Come on now. Maybe somebody was in a car wreck, a bad thing, but you seen God deliver and not a scratch and you realize they could have died like that. You watch those parents when they walk in. You watch them praise and worship God and thank God that their child never got harmed. And you can. There's an atmosphere change. Why? Because they entered the gates with thanksgiving and praise and worship. Amen. See, and that's what David's trying to get us across to us. You don't just praise Him when you get here. You praise Him before you ever get here. Don't just praise Him at church, praise Him at home. Walk through your house dancing. Come on, walk through your house dancing, praising the Lord, singing. Come on. Walk through there and just say, Lord, I thank You that You're Lord of this house. Thank You, Holy Ghost, that You filled my house with great and pleasant things. Amen. Begin to speak out faith. Begin to declare things to come to pass. You got lost family in your house? Walk around your house and say, Father, I thank You that my family's saved. When they walk into these doors, they walk into Your house. When they walk into Your house, they experience the presence of You. Because You are God. Amen. You see, that's the attitude that we've got to have. And that's what David says here. He says, we've got to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and to His courts with praise. And listen, it says, and be thankful to Him and bless His name. Now, here's something that the Amplified says, and you've got to think about this for a minute. It says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and a thank offering. Now think about this one just for a minute. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and a thank offering. Now this, remember we're reading Psalms, so we're talking about Old Testament. Understand that in Old Testament times, when they came to the sanctuary, they brought offerings for different things. They had their sin offerings. They had, you know, a thank offering that they could take in when they were going in just to be thankful to God. Now, here's the thing. Things have changed. They had to bring in these different sacrifices as offerings. We're no longer under the old covenant. We are now under the new covenant. Okay? Now, instead of us bringing a thank offering, we are the thank offering. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When we come in, not only should we already be thankful, but we ought to understand that we are a thank offering. It's the words coming out of our mouth. It's the worship coming out of our mouth. It's the actions. We're not much of a thank offering if we're standing there like this. Come on. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, a dead sacrifice gets burnt. Right? A living sacrifice better express something to show it that it's alive. Hey, I surrender. Hey, God, I'm worshiping You. I love You. I praise You. I'm a living sacrifice to You. So He says, come in and bring a thank offering with you. In other words, not only am I coming in with the right attitude, but I'm submitting my whole self to You, God, today to be thankful. To worship You, to praise You. My body is Yours, and so I'm making it a living sacrifice, You, today. I don't care if my hair's messed up. Don't care if I got one shoe on the right way and one shoe on the wrong way. Some folks have come to church with two different shoes on. Not necessarily on purpose, and then sometimes they do it on purpose. You know. And I'm telling you, it don't matter about that because it's all about this attitude of the heart. It's all about me understanding that I belong to Him, and therefore I brought this body in here just to worship Him with it. Amen. See, when you start seeing this, when you start getting this attitude and understand, this is what we are made to do. Romans chapter 12, listen to this in the Amplified. I appeal to you therefore, this is 12:1, I'm sorry. I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Man, that said a lot, but it said a whole lot that we need to get a hold of. See, you and I are the representation of God to the world. Jesus said it. He said, you're the light on a hill. Right? The city on a hill. You're the light on the candlestick. You are the one that shows the world. Let men see your good works so that they will glorify, not you, because this ain't about you. It's about Him. They'll glorify your Father which is in heaven. So when we start thinking about worshiping Him, we start to understand that we are the representation of God to the world. Matter of fact, 1 Peter, let me give you a scripture here, 2 and 9. It says, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who've called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now listen to this. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He says, listen, you were chosen to do this. God chose you of all the things that He could have chose. Now, don't underestimate God. If you remember, the Bible says that God can make the rocks cry out if He wanted to. He could make the stones praise Him if He wanted to. Come on. Amen. If Jesus could talk to a tree, He could talk to a rock. Right? Come on now. See, when we start understanding these things, we realize, listen, it's my service. It's my duty, my intelligent duty to worship God and be a worshiper, to come into His gates with thanksgiving. And to His courts with praise. And understand that. Now, as we're looking at this, it goes on and says, be thankful to Him and bless His name. That word, to be thankful to Him, it means to literally kneel down and reverence Him. Literally kneel down and reverence Him. So, you know, as he's writing here, David's saying, listen, We've got to understand that when we come into this place, we need to come in with such reverence to know that He's God. Now, God wants you to have a good time when you come into His house, but never forget the seriousness of where you are and who that He is. Amen. Now, let's move on to verse 5. It says, for the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. For the Lord is good. Let's just stop right there for a minute. If you go look into the Amplified, when it talks about the Lord being good, it means a good man. And we know that He is. He's not really a man. He's God. But this, I'm talking about that word good here. A good man, beautiful, bountiful, kindly, pleasant, precious, prosperity, sweet, wealth, welfare, be well favored. That's all part of what the word good means in the Greek. So when it talks about for the Lord is good, then that means all those things is what God is to you. You get so tired of people acting like God's not good. And that God doesn't want you to have good things, when the Bible says no good thing will He withhold from you. People get all hung up trying to be real religious when they ought to get into the Word and be more spiritual. See, because God wants you to be beautiful, bountiful, kindly, pleasant, precious. He wants you to have prosperity. He wants you to be sweet. He wants you to be wealthy. He wants you to have a good welfare. He wants you to be well favored. That's the God He is. For God is good. Right? And so, His mercy is everlasting. That means His kindness never ends. No matter what. Thank God for mercy. We sing that song. God's mercy is greater than anything else, folks, because mercy does not demand justice. Justice demands that there's a punishment for the crime. Understand that. Every one of us are guilty of a crime. A spiritual crime. But in God's mercy, He said, if thou shalt confess thy sin. He's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's mercy. That's mercy. Mercy is giving somebody something they don't deserve. Aren't you glad God gave us something we didn't deserve? Jesus paid the price for that. His mercy is everlasting. It lasts forever. Now, he goes on and says, and his truth endureth to all generations. That word truth means his firmness, his security, his moral fidelity, his stability. In other words, the Word will never fail you because it's always going to stand throughout all generations. It stood for our forefathers. It's still standing today for us. Though there are those out there that would love to change it, it can't be changed because it's forever settled in heaven. They may try to change it in books, but it won't change the Word of God. No matter what they think, no matter what they believe, it doesn't change the Word of God. It will stand for all generations. And I'm going to tell you this. Every generation, when they leave this earth, will be judged by that book. Whether they believed in it or not, they'll be judged by it. So you and I then, as we look at things, we ought to realize that we are worshipers. We were created to worship. And the way we worship can have an effect on everything in our lives. And for sure, the way we worship and come into the house of God worshiping can affect every service and what God is able to do in that service through and by the gifts of the Spirit. So it would help us if we would just say, you know what, God, here I am. I'm here to worship you. I bring my body to you and I lend myself totally to you. Have your way in my life. And if we all surrender to God, watch what God does. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. Father, we thank you and bless you and praise you for David. We know, Father, that David was a man.